it's good for the economy and supports energy independence. On Fox's The Faulkner Focus, though, he criticized that the president only approved part of the project.
The Biden administration wants to throw out crumbs with a bit of production.
The president's move also blocks drilling for millions of acres. Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
A pickup truck plows into pedestrians in Quebec, Canada, killing two men with nine people injured. Police say the hit-and-run driver turned himself in and that this was not terrorism. America's listening to Fox News.
Democrats just want to win the next election, and they're trying to do it with ceaseless money printing. They do not care if the value of your retirement is sacrificed. Hi, Stephen K. Bannon. It is critical to protect your retirement right now with a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get a free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. There's nothing to buy and no obligation at all. Text the word SHELTER to 989898 to get a free info kit on gold.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Garbage is piling up on sidewalks in Paris, France. It's the 9th day of a sanitation worker strike over plans to raise the retirement age by 2 years from 62 to 64. A legal overhaul in Israel is closer to fruition.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wants Israel's parliament to be able to pass laws the Supreme Court can't overturn. An overnight session of that parliament, the Knesset, approved the bill along with another that would allow highly controversial settlements in the northern West Bank. There are also plans to protect the Prime Minister from being declared unfit for office. The proposed judicial overhaul has drawn tens of thousands into the streets protesting that democracy is at risk. Each bill needs more votes before becoming law. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Punishment for a Vermont school that boycotted a girls' basketball game against a team with a transgender player.
Mid-Vermont Christian School forfeited the basketball game last month, saying it believed the transgender player jeopardizes the fairness of the game and the safety of its players. The governing body for Vermont School Sports and Activities ruled the school violated policies and is ineligible to take part in future tournaments. The move applies to all sports, and it issued a statement reiterating its support of transgender student-athletes, saying in part they're part of building an inclusive community for each student to grow and thrive. Lisa Lacerra, Fox News.
A Nicaraguan pitcher makes a big impression at the World Baseball Classic. Duque Hebert, 21 years old, listed at 5'9" tall, struck out 3 major league superstars in the 9th inning of a game against the Dominican Republic, Rafael Devers, Julio Rodriguez, and Juan Soto. A Detroit Tigers scout was impressed enough to hunt Hebert down after the game and sign him to a minor league contract. He won't be making Jimmy Garoppolo money, though. The free agent 49ers quarterback is expected to sign with the Las Vegas Raiders, reportedly for $67.5 million over 3 years. He replaces Derek Carr as quarterback. He signed with the New Orleans Saints. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. It's 6:05 at News Radio. 45 degrees, mostly clear skies right now. Starting out, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jenna Barr.
Good morning. Nothing major to slow you down this morning. Unless you are heading to the front gate of NAS Pensacola, looks like you will be backed up right to about the beginning of the bridge. If you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Jenna. 6:05, News Radio 92.3. The big news this week has been the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. It's had investors concerned about the possibility of other banks failing. Local investment officer for Waverly Advisors, John Cox, talked with Channel 3 about how investors can play it safe.
You don't want to be overexposed to one bank or even a handful of banks. You want to have a basket, so if which may include 10 or 20 different banks, so you kind of spread your risk.
And Cox says there is always risk when you're investing, but he says if you spread those out evenly, there's less of it. And he says potential investors that don't want to risk as much can also invest in cash and bonds, which he says has a lower rate of return, but also less risk. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and Santa Rosa School Board are being sued by the family of a special needs student. The family alleges that law enforcement officers and the school district violated their then 8-year-old student's constitutional rights, namely the Florida Education Equity Act. This comes after body cam video from a school resource officer was released showing the boy being handcuffed and Baker acted. The incident reportedly happened at High Road School in Pace. Now, the name has changed, but it's the activity that needs to change. That's from community advocates after a fatal shooting in a parking lot near Club Climax over the weekend.
We cannot continue to go down this spiraling hill that's out of control of these senseless murders.
That is Ellison Bennett. He says he's hoping to meet with Mayor D.C. Reeves to talk about possible solutions to the violence. He says that could include shutting down Club Climax. Bennett says the club has a history of violence. There was another fatal shooting there back in May of 2019 that left a woman dead. A Dafuniac Springs man has died after a dump truck rollover crash in Walton County. That was yesterday on County Road 280. The Florida Highway Patrol says the man driving the dump truck lost control going around a curve near Pryor Road, then overcorrected. That caused the truck to roll onto its side. The driver of the dump truck died at the scene of that crash. 607 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
It's going to be a little chilly throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon into the low to mid 60s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will drop again into the mid to low 40s. As you go into your Wednesday, sunny skies continue with temperatures warming up into the mid 60s, and by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping back into the low 40s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 608, 45 in clear skies in Pensacola, 50 in Gulf Breeze, 45 in Milton. Our next news at 6:30, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, and this is News Radio 92.3, informative, local.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Former Councilwoman Rice will be my next speaker after Olivia.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Shannon Rice is back. Today's been the day of returning politicians. Last hour, we talked about Sherry Myers showing back up at City Council in the public forum to kick and yell and scream about disability access for playground equipment. Shannon Rice, former City Councilwoman Shannon Rice, who did not run for re-election in the sweep out of all of the up for re-election lost, and she did not run for re-election. Heather Lindsay, the mayor, was the only one who won re-election in the city of Milton last time around. So she showed up to talk about a brownfield designation that a property developer wanted to get in order to make it possible to access some funds. And I know for people who don't maybe know the terms that well, you know, brownfield sites are the places where the actual contamination is. Brownfield locations are sort of the very large areas all in the vicinity that sort of have the stigma or reputation or something, but they don't have any actual pollution on them. It's just meant to facilitate having development happen more easily, to open up some funds, kind of like the community redevelopment area, CRA kind of stuff. That's how Alex Andrade explained it later on. He's, of course, the city attorney for the city of Milton. But Shannon Rice early on basically saying, this is crazy. I can't believe you're doing this, allowing this guy to... The brownfield is like a zone, and then the property that he wants to add to that brownfield would be just right adjacent to it, okay? So he wants to add that property into the brownfield designation.
I think that when someone votes for you to serve in a position that makes decisions that impact their lives, they hope that you are the kind of person that could easily raise your hand and say, I will not lie, cheat, or steal to get what I want. I will do what is right. Even when no one is looking, I am a person of integrity. And that's important because you make a lot of decisions up here and not everybody's going to be happy with them. But I think most people can accept it if they know what your principles are.
Nobody gives a speech like that unless they're getting ready to call somebody a liar. Nobody ever gives a speech like that unless they're intending to set up the, y'all are a bunch of liars if you do this.
According to the Florida statute regarding brownfields, 376.80, the focus is on actual or perceived contamination and rehabilitation of the land. There's no rehabilitation to do to that land, and there's no actual or perceived contamination.
Therefore?
I want to talk to you about three reasons why I ask that you not approve this. The first is because it's a lie.
There it is.
He came before you and asked that. He didn't say it in those words, but he's asking you to lie.
I always love Shannon's kind of contemptuous laugh. Can't believe he would do that.
There's been reference to this being a tool in your toolbox. So lying has always been a tool in your toolbox. God gave you free will.
And last pass.
And the other expression is that it will not cost you anything. And that really speaks to what you value. Because lying and deceit can cost you everything, especially as a politician. He came before you in a public meeting, politicians, and asked you to lie.
All right. So again, you know, what's she upset about? She is upset about the idea that we would be designated this one property as a brownfield in order to gain access to the funding and the not remediation of the soil, but just in like the development money that would be available for that. And some of that, I think it's tax breaks and some other stuff like that. And she says, yeah, but it's not. There's no contamination there. So why would we add it? The counter argument is that we do this all the time. And already brownfields are much larger than the contamination area. And it's a way of bringing resurgence and redevelopment to kind of blighted stuff. And that's what the staff explained.
You all heard a PowerPoint presentation from Tim Schell Development Group regarding the tranquility at Milton Apartment Complex and their request to extend the city's existing brownfield area along the right-of-way of Glover Lane to include just their property, be a one property extension to the city's brownfield area.
And so Alex Andrade explains, as I said before, the distinction between a brownfield site and a brownfield area for economic development.
The expansion of the brownfield area, it's not out of the ordinary. It meets the definition. The statute even contemplates all or portions of CRAs being included in brownfield areas just for this specific purpose. This is designed as a like an economic development tool that local governments can use, as a result of, you know, actual or perceived contamination at smaller sites that have an economic impact that's detrimental to a larger area.
So you have, I'll call them the professionals, you know, Alex Andrade and Randy Jorgensen and Ed Spears, who are kind of explaining this stuff. And then you have the upsetters who are just like kind of angry all the time about everything. And we'll get to them in just a second. Before that, we've got Jenna in today again for Candy with traffic on the fives.
A crash at I-10 eastbound around mile marker 27 in Milton is causing some slowdowns. Use caution in the area as authorities arrive on scene. Front gate of NES Pensacola has freed up and is only showing minor congestion at the check-in. If you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jenna. So back to the Milton City Council meeting, the executive committee meeting. They've got the regular meeting tonight. So the last of the three sequence when they develop an agenda and push it forward and then eventually actually vote on it. So Sherry Chapman, one of the Pitchfork Posse types, is getting up there and saying, if you designate this as a brownfield later on, something happens, you're going to get sued over it. And what I love to hear is the officials are starting to push back. You know, Jeff Snow is starting to push back and Heather Lindsay is starting to push back. And Gavin Hawthorne, even one of the brand new members of council, are starting to push back and say, boy, y'all say some silly things.
I think that we can look at history across the United States, and we will see that people do go back and sue municipalities for choices of vacating contaminated property, probable contaminated property, and brownfield property, as well as chemical plant properties. There is a lot in the courts that has been done.
Do you have an example, ma'am?
I can bring you examples. I looked them up. You can look them up as well.
Has anybody sued the city of Milton for all the Brownsville redevelopment area? Because it's most of downtown area in the whole city of Milton is on this map. So if to your point is correct, mm-hmm. you would have a lot more people trying to sue the city of Milton for contamination when this map shows the entire downtown, Riverwalk included, is on this map.
Oh, well done. New city councilmember Gavin Hawthorne is saying, you know, if it were true that we would get sued a ton if we make this designation, we've already made this designation in a lot of area, and we haven't been sued. So maybe you're wrong. That's exactly right. And then Mike Cusack, not to be, you know, outdone in terms of expressions of frustration and anger.
Where's the perceived benefit for the citizens of Milton with the brownfield designation? What's the benefit for the citizens on this, other than the benefit to the tax incentive to the developer next door? I don't see personally where people here benefit from it that live here. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me, how that works.
Really? You don't understand how facilitating economic development can be of benefit to the entire community? That escapes you, City Councilman Mike Cusack? Well, okay, that's why Randy Jorgensen is there. He's the city manager.
There was certainly a demonstrated need of the importance of developing these type of dwelling units within the city. This represents the answer to many prayers by the people that were present.
I mean, we're going to put up, you know, 70-plus new housing, affordable apartments, and 200 or so, you know, 150, 250 residents in that area, and you don't see the benefit of that?
So I would perceive the development of the project as a benefit to the city of Milton. It provides a housing opportunity that doesn't exist in the community today.
Heard of the housing shortage?
So that would be, I hope,
well, he's going to develop the property whether the brownfield area is designated or not. He made that statement when last at the Committee of the Whole. So my question is, if the area is not contaminated, why are we going to designate it as contaminated? That's what I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense about being there.
And what I want to clarify is that designating a parcel as part of a much larger brownfield area, which it is adjacent to a much larger brownfield area, does not permit anyone to pollute. It does not permit any activity other than the beneficial redevelopment to improve the community as a whole, similar to what a CRA does. It's very similar as a financial mechanism to what a CRA does to improve a blighted area.
All right, so they went ahead and had the vote. It was 6-2. Mike Cusack voted against it. Marilyn Farrow voted against it, but it's going to go ahead and move forward. They have the real vote tonight, okay, the actual vote to approve this tonight, and I would expect it's going to be that same vote or maybe larger, 7-1 or 8-0. We'll see. There was another one, too. I'll get to it later on in the show. Another one where it's just like, why are you kicking and screaming over this? I've said before, one of the things I liked about Shannon Rice and I like about Mike Cusack is they tell you where they stand, okay? In an undiplomatic, counterproductive way a lot of times, but they tell you where they stand. But at the same time, it can be very counterproductive because it's just so, God, the word is obstreperous, but, you know, it's just so always fighting about something. Everything's always an 11 and ugly at it, not just, you know, It'd be one thing to say, you know, honestly, I don't really understand why we're making this designation. Can somebody explain it to me? Oh, that's a very different from there's no public benefit. Explain it to me. This doesn't make any sense. We're lying about it. I mean, that, you know, see, there's a difference in tone, which is something I would love to see more at the Milton City Council meeting. 6:22 on News Radio 92.3. So yeah, they're gonna designate it. They're gonna get apartment complex built. There's gonna be more housing for people, more affordable housing, more residents in the city. Simple, right? 6:22 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McCann.
Magic Legs.
Good morning, 6:24 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. A good friend of the show and a voice you always hear and see on Channel 3 whenever there's been violence in the community. Sadly, this is the time when we hear from him the most. But Ellison Bennett's on the line. Ellison, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I saw you on Channel 3 last night talking about this. Another homicide at what used to be a different club and has now been rebranded as Club Climax, right?
Yes, good morning. It was the Platinum Club. Bar and Lounge a few years ago, then it's the Platinum Club, now it's the Climax. Same results. Young people go there early morning, have a disturbance, and somebody end up dead. You know, it really bothers me, Andrew, because I've been tracking since 2010 to the present. 218 young black men between the age of 17 and 30 have been murdered because of gang violence or drug-related or whatever going on in our county. And it is time for everybody who live in Escambia County to look at this in a serious way. That's why I want to have a conversation with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Either that's going to have to be strong police presence at these clubs or shut it down. I mean, there's no gray area in between because people are losing their lives.
You can't look at the results and think, well, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. It's the work that the city council did to change the hours of operation for the bottle club seems to have made a difference by my estimate. And yeah, I'm going to ask DC about this tomorrow because a business gets, you know, one shooting death occurs in your property or on your property. I mean, that's horrible. Two, in such a short period of time, I mean, you're done. I'm the same. I don't understand how you can continue to operate under those circumstances. Changing the name has not solved this particular problem. Ellison, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for all the work that you do for the community, man. I appreciate you. Jenna Barr now has traffic on the fives.
An accident at I-10 eastbound at mile marker 27 in Milton will slow you down just a little bit. And there's also minor delays at front gate of NES Pensacola. This traffic on the fives is brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. Call the best of the Bay, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. If you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Jenna. Now David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
SpaceX says they'll be testing Starlink's satellite to cell service with T-Mobile this year. A company executive says a lot will be learned not by overanalyzing, but by getting out there. SpaceX has launched about 4,000 satellites. And the Federal Reserve conducting a review of Silicon Valley Bank after their collapse. Shares of regional banks started plummeting on the stock market yesterday. Former chief economist with the U.S. Department of Labor, Betsy Stevenson, says it's likely a result of investor skepticism.
They're probably going to be re-regulated, and they're not going to be able to make as many risky decisions, which means that the upside potential profitability might not be there. So I think that's why you're seeing those movements in the stock market.
And Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says the events surrounding the bank's failure demand a thorough, transparent, and swift review.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. I thought you might find this interesting. Jenna, I was reading a story the other day about ChatGPT and how a guy who goes by the username John Knox asked him questions about Christianity. Asked ChatGPT. Question: what is the Christian gospel? Asking the ChatGPT. Answer: the Christian gospel is the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is based on the belief that God created the world and all that is in it, but humanity's sin separated us from God. This separation brought death and eternal separation from God. The gospel teaches that Jesus Christ, who is God in human form, came to earth and lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, rose from the dead on the third day, proving his power over sin and death, and offering eternal life to all who believe in him. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God and receive forgiveness for our sins. This reconciliation is a gift of grace, not something we can earn or deserve by our own efforts. The gospel also teaches that believers in Christ are called to live a life of obedience to God's commands, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to share the good news of salvation with others.
So is he going to heaven? It going to heaven?
That's what I was like. My first reaction is, that's an A+.
That was really good.
That's, dare I say,
missionaries,
better. Yeah, better than, I'll be generous, 70% of Christians could say.
Yeah,
I think I'm being generous at 70%. And then it goes on, and it asked him follow-ups. You know, it said, it asked him what exactly is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is the act of trusting in him as the Son of God who died for our sins and rose from the dead and committing oneself to follow him as Lord and Savior. It involves acknowledging that we are sinners in need of salvation and recognizing that Jesus is the only way to be reconciled with God. Faith in Jesus Christ is not just a matter of intellectual assent, but a personal commitment to him that involves the whole person, including the emotions, will, and actions. It means putting our trust in Jesus to save us and to guide us in our daily lives and seeking to obey his teachings and commands. ChatGPT always speaks in three paragraphs. Here's the third one. According to Christian doctrine, faith in Jesus Christ is a gift of God's grace. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart. It is not something that can be earned or achieved by our own efforts, but is a response to the message of the gospel and the prompting of the Spirit. The Bible teaches that faith without works is dead, so a true faith in Jesus Christ will result in a life of obedience and good works. Dude. I mean, that's like 100% accurate. Right?
Alexa couldn't even tell
No, it's crazy. He asked him a follow-up. I don't have time to get into it. What happens to people who don't put their faith in Jesus? That one's 100% accurate, too.
Oh, wow.
And you're like, oh, my God, the theology teacher, ChatGPT. Now, yeah. I will say this. I'm pretty sure we're not going to see him at the throne. I'm pretty sure the chatbot is not going to be
but that would
at
be really
the throne,
cool.
Which is a good reminder that flawless doctrine is not the same as salvation, right? Being able to say the words is not the same as having the transformation. But holy smokes, man, this ChatGPT is terrifyingly good when you ask him questions like this.
Fox News. I'm Lillian Wu. Millions in the Northeast are bracing for a powerful nor'easter in Massachusetts. Many schools beginning to cancel or delay classes.
We're getting a lot of that wind, the strong wind gusts and the waves that are coming up crashing right against the sand and the rocks and the seawall. We're getting rain here where we are in Gloucester. So right now, people are not going to need the rock salt and the shovels here. But we're noticing even just a wooden sign that is just flapping in the breeze here. The wind gusts really starting to pick up, and it's causing the rain to go sideways.
Fox 25. Kelly Sullivan. And President Biden expected to sign an executive order aimed at gun violence today. He'll be in Monterey, California, where 11 died in a mass shooting at a dance hall in January. The order also asks his cabinet to look into how the federal government can better assist communities after a mass shooting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3. It's a chilly Tuesday morning right now. 44 degrees, mostly clear skies in Pensacola. After a fatal weekend shooting in a parking lot near Club Climax on Palafox, community advocates calling for the violence to stop.
I know we cannot have a crystal ball and figure out when violence is going to occur, but there's got to be a starting point to end the senseless violence here in Escambia County.
That's Ellison Bennett. Pensacola police still investigating that shooting that left 23-year-old Ariel Thomas dead on Sunday. So far, there's no motives or known suspects. It's not the first deadly shooting near that particular nightclub. A deadly drive-by shooting left a woman dead in May of 2019. At that time, the club was known as the Platinum Nightclub. Bennett says the name has changed, but the activity is what needs to change. He's hoping to meet with the mayor soon to discuss possible solutions to the violence, including shutting down the club. Well, if you're looking for a new furry member of your family, Santa Rosa County's got you covered this weekend. They're hosting a reduced-cost pet adoption event over the weekend. That'll be happening at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Saturday at the Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter on Pine Forest Road in Milton. The event will also feature vendors, dog trainers. They're even going to have food trucks, and they'll have painting with shelter pups, raffles, and adoption fees to take a dog home. Will only be $5. Spring break continuing. Zero tolerance is the policy in Okaloosa County. The sheriff's office there says they've issued 132 citations for underage possession of alcohol so far. They posted photos recently of a traffic stop on social media where four teens were found with fake IDs, alcohol, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. Deputies warn having a fake ID can result in a felony charge. The failure of Silicon Valley Bank has had investors worried about other possible bank collapses. Local investor John Cox says this isn't the first investing scare he's seen.
I've been in this industry for 25 years, and going back to 1997, just about every year we have some type of event that causes investor panic or stress or anxiety. It's just a part of being a investor in equities, and over long time periods, stocks do deliver pretty attractive returns.
And Cox says investors should spread their risks out among many banks, even many industries. If the stock market has you squeamish, he recommends investing in cash and bonds instead, which he says has a lower rate of return, but also a lot less risk. The Gulf Islands National Seashore, one of the most visited national parks in the country, came in at number two on the list, right behind the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. We learned those numbers yesterday. They were recently released in the annual visitation report. The most visited national park last year was, of course, Great Smoky Mountains, 13 million visitors there. The Gulf Islands National Seashore had just over 5.6 million visitors, and third on the list was the Grand Canyon National Park with about 4.7 million visitors. Former President Trump was campaigning in Iowa yesterday. He took aim at Governor DeSantis while he was there.
He was very, very bad on ethanol. He fought it all the way, and he also fought against Social Security. He wanted to decimate it and voted against it three times.
And ethanol, a huge issue in the Hawkeye State. He also criticized DeSantis's farm policies and accused the governor, as you heard, of wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. Trump's visit to Iowa came just days after Governor DeSantis also made a trip to the state. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jenna.
Still keeping an eye on that accident on I-10 eastbound at mile marker 27 in Milton. Also, just be mindful, there are just minor delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola. But if you have a traffic tip, call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a little chilly throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon into the low to mid 60s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will drop again into the mid to low 40s. As you go into your Wednesday, sunny skies continue with temperatures warming up into the mid 60s. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping back into the low 40s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's a chilly one this morning. Clear skies, 44 in Pensacola, 48 in Gulf Breeze, 43 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's take a look at Tallahassee. They're doing a lot of things in Tallahassee right now, including, for example, getting ready to put the voucher plan over to the full house. And remember, this is the one that's going to basically give every student who leaves public school to go to a private or a charter or not homeschool, although homeschoolers are eligible for some amount of reimbursement based on costs of homeschooling, not obviously, you know, paying homeschool parents' salaries or anything like that, but, you know, some of the costs for curriculum, things like that, up to 10,000 of them the first year, 20,000 the second year. But the main price tag is going to be providing voucher coverage for everybody, regardless of income or anything else, which I have said repeatedly, I think this is a mistake because I don't see the public benefit of spending money for students who are already going to private school, whose parents can certainly afford it, and who live in good school districts where the schools are fine. You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. But this is the plan. It's going forward so far as is, and we'll kind of see how everything shakes out. You also have the move to reduce, to undo one of the four key provisions of the post-Parkland bill, the one that put the age for purchasing rifles and shotguns up to 21 to put it back to 18. Remember, the court case it's been working through has so far been upheld that that is a constitutional restriction, and is actually part of the reasoning for that being allowed is that it's less restrictive than historical laws on gun purchasing have been, because historically some of the laws were that you couldn't even own the gun. Well, ours allows a 19-year-old, for example, to own a gun if somebody else gives it to him. I think it's unconstitutional. I think that it's a terrible law, and I do hope we push back. I just don't get the idea of saying that adults have constitutional rights, but not all of them. But we've had the conversation before. That's looking like it's going to pass as well. However, there is no Senate companion to this bill. It's going to pass the House overwhelmingly. The question is, will the Senate take it up? And remember, the Senate has historically been the hiccup here because it was the Senate that really put in some of those provisions of the Parkland bill, including that one. Because remember, the argument has always been, and at the time, it was a one Senate vote made the difference. Like every senator who voted for it, including Doug Broxson, voted for the Parkland bill, and their argument was, if we don't do this now, we will lose the Senate. And the Senate was a lot tighter at that time. And you could make the argument that, well, they kept the Senate and they have gained ever since. Maybe they were right. And so I think their concern is if we undo this, we lose the momentum that we have. But we'll see. We'll kind of see what the Senate does in this regard. I know gun advocates just it makes them livid, that very subject. And me too. I mean, as one, you know, I think it's terrible. But I do understand the practical politics argument as well. One of the other things we've got going on in Tallahassee is we're going to have another execution. In case you hadn't seen this, it's definitely somebody who deserves it. Set for April 12th. It'll be the second one since we kind of paused them in 2019. And this is Robert. Gaskin is his name. What is his first name here? Louis Bernard Gaskin. He killed a couple of people back in 1989. Also convicted of armed robbery, burglary, attempted murder of another couple over some, like a video cassette recorder, some lamps and a clock, some things that he stole. And the notable thing about this is that he was recommended for the death penalty 8-4 instead of unanimously. And this was, you would think, well, based on the Hearst case, that's the Popeye murders here in Pensacola, that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court came back and made it seem like, said that basically our protocol for death recommendations is no good. And we went to a unanimous one, and then we had the Parkland, ironically, not to talk about both in the same sentence, but we had the Parkland killer was, you know, not given the death penalty because of, on the death recommendation, you had a disagreeing jury. So now we're looking to revise that and make it not unanimous anymore. We say, why would an 8-4 back in 1990 still get executed? And the answer is because, you remember, they didn't go retroactively undo all. They set it back to the date of that Hearst event. They set it back to then and didn't go prior to that in terms of the one they undid. So we're finally going to be executing somebody who was recommended for a death penalty on an 8-4, even though currently, if you were recommended 8-4, you wouldn't get the death penalty. It's complicated and convoluted, but that's the reality of it. That's what's going on. 6:44 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have happening? There's been a lot of argument about the transgender athlete ban, and there's a lot of bills filed. I actually am in the middle of, I watched most of, but not all of, the House Bill 999 discussion yesterday. This is Alex Andrade's bill, the one that talks about, allowing tenure review for cause and eliminating the teaching of critical race theory and, you know, things like that are based on immutable characteristics that you're not supposed to be advocating as a basis of judging any person or on the basis of which people form views. And a lot of it, there's a lot of other stuff. Enormously long meeting, like 2.5 hour meeting, and I got about an hour and a half through it so far. Everybody and their brother and sister wants to get up and yell and scream about this and talk about it. They actually reduced the talk time to 30 seconds a person. That so many people wanted to talk about this that it went down to 30 seconds a person, and they recommended it in the end. You know, it's a party line vote. This got recommended to advance forward. And I feel the concerns. I do. We've talked about this with Alex. I feel some of the concerns. And I know that generally speaking, you don't want to be telling the professors in the classroom what they can and cannot teach. That's a concept called academic freedom. But what do you do when they are teaching things that are contrary to what the state has said are our values, values that we believe in? Like, what if, for example, you discovered one day that they were actively teaching racism in the university? You know, what would you do? What would you favor doing? Well, at the very least, you'd favor prohibiting that, wouldn't you? I mean, if they were teaching white supremacy in the classroom, okay, right? You said, well, that's not what they're doing. Oh, I know it's not what they're doing. I'm saying, the notion that you should always allow academic freedom is hollow, because there are certainly viewpoints you would not allow to be taught, even at higher levels of education, right? Okay, once you take that premise, the question is, well, what is being taught and what is the problem? Well, the problem is sort of the same thing in the opposite direction, the notion that people of a certain gender or people of a certain race or people cannot, you know, they have views and they can be judged by those views because of their immutable characteristics. And that we should study that to understand that, because that stuff matters. And so it's the left's version of racism. And that's the stuff that they're concerned about, in part, in this bill. 6:47 on News Radio 92.3. Jenna's got traffic on the fives.
The following traffic on the fives is brought to you by Indeed. Roads are moving along smoothly as the sun comes up this morning, and the earlier accident on I-10 eastbound in Milton has cleared. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. With Indeed, you can attract, screen, and interview candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Have a traffic tip? Call 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, when we talk about imports. We talk about cars that you like, that you spend extra money to drive, a BMW, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, a Lexus. And you might think, well, therefore, I have to take it to the dealership to get it maintained, right? No, you don't. You can save money. You can save time, especially if you have to drive away as a way for the dealership. And you could take it to Bobby Likes Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time. No problem. Same for your diesel engines. That's a little bit different. Can be a little bit tricky. Something not everybody likes to work on. You do not have to take those to the dealership. You can get those worked on at Bobby Likes. They service them all the time. CarClinicService.com is the website. The idea is like a clinic, a healthcare clinic for your car. So go see them for the routine preventative maintenance so you don't see the big things happen. That's what preventative means. It's to prevent the big things, right? That's the idea. Carfax rated them a 2021 top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likes Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. National average for gallon gas, $3.46. Florida is $3.30. That is 30 cents higher than it was, 2 weeks ago maybe? Texas, $3.07. California, $4.90. If you're in Navarre, $3.18 east and west at the Walmarts. That hasn't raised a lot in a while. $3.21 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy, $3.27 at the Exxon in Gulf Breeze proper, $3.19 at the Raceway before Avalon and Milton, $3.19 at the Pea Ridge Murphy, and $3.25 through Pace. Not happy about where these gas prices are going, frankly. $3.12 at the neighborhood market Walmart on 9 Mile, $3.13 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, looks like the best price is going to be $3.15 at the TNC on Navy. 6:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The president of Mexico says his country is safer than the U.S. Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador made those comments as there's been criticism of security in Mexico after the kidnapping and killing of Americans earlier this month. The White House stressing that the Silicon Valley Bank is not getting a government bailout after regulators seized the assets of the bank. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that taxpayers are not on the hook to cover the bank. She said money for the depositors is coming from the fees banks pay. And here's a headline you don't see all that often, Andrew. An Ohio man in the hospital after a zebra attack. Officials there say the animal attacked its owner, and deputies' medical crews were called. The reports I've seen, it looked like the man got his arm bitten off by the zebra.
Yikes. Wow.
I did not know zebras were capable of that kind of an attack.
You kind of think, zebra, funny looking deer, big deal.
It's payback for us wearing the print. They should have gone to New Jersey.
This is what you get for the 80s.
Yikes. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, I thought this is kind of an interesting story. You had... just went straight out of my head. I was on the verge. I was actually in the middle of looking something up to verify. Oh, it was the Mexico story. That's what. The idea that going to Mexico is more unsafe than being in the United States. And it reminded me of, and for the life of me, this is what I was looking up. I couldn't remember the name of the movie. It was a movie with Samuel L. Jackson about the military and where the allegation was about how unsafe the environment around the embassy was, that where they wound up shooting some folks in the crowd kind of thing. And the argument in the case, or in the court martial, was that he brings all of the front pages of all of the newspapers that day from around the United States, and to show that if you looked at the headlines of all the newspapers or the nightly news or whatever, you would believe that America is this horrible place of awful depravity all the time. And you always do wonder. I mean, I think this is a fair question. You know, is Mexico in general really like that? Or is Mexico, it's a place where people live like anywhere else, but they also have some issues, right? Because I remember when I took and I don't know the answer to that. I don't feel like what I know about Mexico these days is, oh God, right? Those stories. But surely that can't just be everywhere all the time. I mean, rationally, you know that, right? Same thing when I took a trip to Jerusalem, years ago, decade ago? Gosh, how long ago? Anyway, I remember, and this was at a time where, incidents were not at a high, okay? But still, the perception of Israel by a lot of Americans is, oh God, why would you go there? this is the scariest place on earth. And you go and you're like, there's nothing scary here at all. This is just people, right? But a few vivid, emotional, violent news stories about a place that you don't know much about, really, because you don't live there all the time, can dramatically shape your perception of a place. And look, I'm not saying you ought to go to Mexico. I would probably not take my family to Mexico these days, but that's one part of me going on the travel advisory and some of the, you know, news stories. The other part of me is like, well, you know, look, I lived in St. Louis. You know, what's the coverage of St. Louis to other people in the country? I lived in Phoenix. What's the coverage of Phoenix to other people in the country? It's just not what you see and hear on the news. And that's important to remember, too, that, you know, of course, our industry picks the most vivid, emotional, violent, upsetting exceptions to the general truth. It's always, and not to diminish the importance of two Americans getting killed and two other Americans getting hurt when they went there to get their Brazilian butt lifts or whatever, you know, and right? Because that's what it was, okay? That's a horrible thing. But how many people, Americans, went to Mexico that week and came back safely? I mean, you know that number's got to be tens of thousands. They didn't make the news for anything. You know, when a plane has a near incident, oh my God, well, 30,000 flights took off and landed safely that day. I mean, you know, it's kind of like always context. Always think about the general truth. And the way I always try to explain this when I was teaching for my students was the significance of the exceptions, and that when you have experience of the general truth of something, the exceptions don't bother you so much. Great example of that is driving. You know, every day people die on the roads. Every day in this area, you know, maybe not every day, every other day, a couple times a week, you know, somebody dies in a car crash, right? Okay. Do you still drive? Despite all of those people? Yeah, because you've driven hundreds and thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of hours in your car. And even though you've had wrecks, most people have had a wreck, you still get behind the wheel of a car. Why? Because you have enough broad-based experience of that activity to know that, yes, terrible things can happen, but for the most part, they don't. Anyway, just a thought about kind of contextualizing all of these horror stories that we hear about everything all the time. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. Jenna's got traffic for us.
Keeping an eye on something going on I-10 heading eastbound. It looks like an accident. It says the accident at mile marker 27 has cleared, but it is still causing a little bit of delays. There's also a disabled vehicle that has been cleared, but has been causing delays. I'll give you the number to give me an update if you see something. And then also taking a look at front gate of NES Pensacola, not seeing any major delays at the moment. Navarre Parkway, 9810 Navarre Parkway, that is looking like there's no roadblock but a minor vehicle crash at the time. And if you do see something on the roads, 850-2626-111. This report is brought to you by New South Windows Solutions. I'm Jenna Barr for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jenna. I got a funny text in here at 437-1620. Somebody says, imagine all the ways a nice domestic horse can hurt you, and they could. And then you add a burning hatred that can only be acquired from evolving on a continent with some of the deadliest animals on Earth, forced to live your life in white and black stripes, and you get a zebra. That's funny. I love it. Oh, and Rules of Engagement was the movie. That's right, Rules of Engagement. Very, very good movie. All right, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Time for future news, where Jen and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will the White House move to painted rocks or wooden eggs as opposed to the horrible chicken-harming eggs that PETA is protesting against for another year again here?
Maybe not this year, but next year. I'm foreseeing some wooden eggs happening. Yeah. Yes.
Just roll the children.
We need to be accepting
to be accepting of the chickens. And the, you know, remember, chickens are people too. Navy ship readiness. Golly, 32%. We had missions we couldn't do because we couldn't field an amphibious vessel. Are we going to get that readiness up?
Dude. That's alarming, and right now, if they're not, I don't know if they will.
Let me say this. I'm optimistic that Carlos Del Toro, the Secretary of the Navy, gets this problem and is actually working to solve it, not by throwing money into maintaining old ships that should be decommissioned, but in decommissioning them and building new ones so we don't have as much of this in the future. I actually think they're on the right track with this, even though the numbers look terrible right now.
Yeah.
The Ninja Killer, I told you about him. He's set to be executed in April. Will we follow through with that second one since the semi-moratorium in 2019?
probably, but I'm not a believer in the death penalty. I'm so sorry.
Interesting. We'll have that conversation another time. Yeah, that's good. And then HB 999, Alex Andrade's bill, dealing with higher education and eliminating a lot of wokeness in the university level and changing tenure rules and a bunch of, there's a lot of provisions built into this bill. Is this bill going to pass?
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt. Are we going to get a Senate companion to the bill that would reduce the age to purchase a gun to 18 again?
In
Florida.
I don't know.
God, I want it,
so?
Yes. I think no, weirdly. Okay.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.